It is 5 o'clock somewhere, real estate investor podcast time. And we're going to be talking to Frank Torres from theonebrokerage.com about portfolio lending, where if you're interested in buying 8, 10, 12, 20 properties and not having to go through 20 different mortgages, we're going to get some details about that. So stick with us.
We are sponsored by Title Assurance and Escrow, a title company here in Cordova that does all of our closings, title work, escrows, and we only use Title Assurance and Escrow. That relationship is very important because we can get things done for our investors quickly and easily. So to speak with Title Assurance and Escrow, call 901-737-3332. Ask for Chris or April.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for coming on. We get a lot of questions about portfolio lending, and we're going to go from this as if we have no clue what we're talking about and lean on you as an expert to discuss portfolio lending and what it is and try to help people understand. Before we do that, tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so my name is Frank. I'm with The One Brokerage. We're essentially the Swiss Army knife of lending, meaning we specialize in loans for experienced investors looking to scale their business effectively. So we do anything from, you know, DSCR, portfolio, blanket loans, anything non-QM.
And you can reach me at 619-450-9097. You can text me to that number as well. You can email me at frank@theonebrokerage.com.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's get into the portfolio lending. We don't get a lot of buyers that are using portfolio lending because it's so difficult. There are a lot of lenders that say, oh, yeah, we do portfolio lending. And then when you send them somebody, they're like, well, but you know, we don't do this type. But basically, they don't do them. They say they do. So give us a quick rundown. What is a portfolio loan?
I think blanket gives it an easier summary of what a portfolio loan is.
Okay.
So you're basically encumbering multiple properties under the same blanket. So when you make a payment, you're just having to submit one payment versus multiple. So it makes it a lot easier on the management side when you're having to submit just one payment instead of, you know, 20 payments, 100 payments.
Right. Well, let me ask you this.
That's essentially what a portfolio loan is. You're blanketing multiple properties under the same blanket.
So if someone wants to buy a package of five or six and doesn't want to do six separate different mortgage applications, six separate qualifications, then a portfolio loan would be a product that they could use. Because you're basically getting one loan with multiple properties. What's the max amount of properties you can buy in a portfolio loan?
There's no limit as to however many properties you want to package under the blanket.
Okay.
So if you want to do 20 properties under the same blanket, if you want to do 100, there's really no limit.
Interesting.
Go up to 100 million on the loan size.
Holy cow.
Frank, are the qualifications a lot more stringent and strict on these portfolio loans? Can you explain a little bit about the requirements?
Absolutely. So with a portfolio or blanket loan, they're going to be more stringent compared to as if we were treating these as a single asset. So what I mean by that is it's what's called DSCR constraints. You know, it's going to have a stricter debt service coverage ratio requirement. So if we're doing it, you know, multiple properties under a blanket, the lender will typically want to see a 1.20 DSCR ratio or greater. There's not a lot of flexibility on that. In rare cases, we can get exceptions to get under the 1.20, but they're going to have a lot more restrictions compared to if we can treat it individually. So this loan type's not for everyone. This is more of the experienced investor who's looking to purchase multiple properties and to make the payment management a lot more streamlined and effective.
Well, that leads me to my next question. So you mentioned DSCR. So you're saying that the qualifications for that portfolio loan are very similar to DSCR? They're not really looking at the investor's personal income and tax returns. They're looking at the cash flow of the properties and maybe their credit score? Ability to pay?
Correct. Yes, we're looking at all those items. We're looking at the sponsor, their experience. We're looking at the FICO score. And we're also wanting to make sure that the assets are cash flow positive.
Okay.
So we're looking at what's called the
1.2%. Right? 1.20. But your only expenses that you're calculating are going to be your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Or is there other expenses that y'all will...
Association dues. Right.
And the association is.
So exactly. We're not looking at property management to calculate the DSCR. We're not looking at, you know, CapEx. We're just looking at the PITIA, but we're looking at the aggregate debt service coverage ratio spread out across all the properties. And why that's a value add, you know, compared to treating it as individually is because, you know, a lot of times in a portfolio, you'll have assets that perform weaker compared to others in terms of the debt coverage ratio. You know, not all properties cash flow the same. Some properties cash flow less than others. So we look at the aggregate debt service coverage ratio for the portfolio or blanket loan.
So as long as the package itself is doing 1.2 or better, some can be doing less than others and some can be doing better than others as long as that average doesn't drop below the 1.2.
Yeah, and that's a huge benefit for the investor as well, because if you're in a scenario where let's say you're doing a DSCR loan, you're treating these as single assets, right? Single loan per property. If your DSCR on some of the units are, you know, if they fall short, that can affect your leverage. So you might be thinking, oh, I'm getting 75% LTV, but, you know, later on in the process, that can get cut down to, who knows, like 65% LTV or 60% LTV. A lot of times, obviously, that can't work. So being able to blanket multiple assets, multiple properties under the same loan and use the aggregate DSCR is a huge value add for these types of investors.
I know you can't quote rates, but what is the average rate that you would see for a portfolio loan?
In today's market?
Yeah, in today's market. Not what we used to have. I'm talking about today's market and what we may have next year and the year after. But for now, if someone wanted to do one today, what kind of ballpark would they be looking at interest-wise?
Right. Currently, we're ranging in the 6s to 7s.
Well,
this is a 30-year fixed.
Can they refinance down? No prepayment penalties?
Yeah, so with these are DSCR loans. It's going to come with a prepay. In some cases, what you can do is you can reduce the prepay, but that's either going to come in the form of an increase in the rate or an increase to the costs.
What is your prepayment time frame? 3 years?
Typically, with these types of loans, 30-year fixed, no balloon. You know, we can do a 5-year prepay, 4-year, 3-year, 2-year, 1, and we can reduce it all the way down to 0, depending on the investor's preferences and what their time horizon is, whatever their exit strategy might be.
In other words, if somebody wanted to refinance through another lender, will you allow that after even 24 months or 36 months or whatever it is your time frame is?
Right. Yeah, so we can allow it. However, with a portfolio loan, this is why it's not for everyone, is because with a portfolio loan, if you're going to carve out, let's say, you know, a piece of the, you know, the portfolio, maybe like a single asset, you're wanting to sell it or, you know, liquidate it for whatever reason, you'd have to consider the partial release clause, because what tends to happen is lenders, they're going to want an additional principal allocation of 20% to the loan. So if you, you know, want to swap out the property or sell one property under that blanket, you know, you got to allocate an additional 20% to the loan, but we do allow it.
What do you mean allocate to the loan? Explain that.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, just easy numbers. If the total loan's $100,000 and you want to sell one property under that blanket loan, instead of paying, you know, the $100,000, they'd want to see $120,000, you know, allocated to the loan.
How do
so
they
it's
determine?
Basically, you know, 20%. Principal allocation is what they will require.
So if it's $1 million loan, they're going to want to see $200,000 paid off on the loan with the sale of that property, or am I misunderstanding that?
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. So you take 20% of the total loan, and out of the sale of that one property to release it, they want to collect 20% of the loan balance. Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense.
Frank, what if I currently own 50 properties and I want to, can I consolidate them, my existing homes into refinance with you into one portfolio loan, or is this just all new properties that I'm going to purchase?
Absolutely. As long as we're going under the same entity and as long as these are 1 of 4 unit residential properties.
Okay. So that was my next question. So in my blanket loan with you, portfolio loan with you, can I mix single residential, multifamily, any commercial properties? Can I put anything under that umbrella?
No, this is just 1 to 4 residential properties. Correct.
Okay.
So I had a portfolio client, a client that had 8 homes under one portfolio. During the bad economy, he got in some financial trouble. So he came to me and wanted to sell off three or four of these properties. We ended up selling five of them, actually, and he held on. I think he still got two, maybe three. The problem that is now that for three properties, his mortgage payment to that portfolio loan has not changed. So they didn't restructure the payment on that portfolio loan. He's paying the same payment as he was when he had seven or eight properties. My question to you is, if the bank doesn't want to do that, doesn't restructure it, maybe they're trying to push him to refi out of the portfolio loan, but if they continue to make payments on the previous amount, how do they calculate the principal and interest in that? Because it seems to me if he's still paying $5,500 a month for two homes, that there's a considerable amount of principal should be applied to that existing loan balance and it should be paid down faster. Is that correct or incorrect?
Yeah, that's correct. Every lender is going to have their own requirements and guidelines with the portfolio blanket loans. You know, generally speaking, what they do is they look at the performance of the overall portfolio rather than, one or two, a few of the single assets. So if a couple of properties are underperforming, but the majority remains stable, the lender, they can typically just request a resolution plan rather than take drastic action. But yeah, it really depends. It's kind of hard to say. Because some lenders, they don't even allow the carve-outs.
Well, right. I think in this case, they were in foreclosure. They were in financial trouble. And this was a method that I spoke to the bank about. I said, look, I can probably unload some of these and pay down the loan amount, which we did. We got it down from $700,000 to, I think we're around $180,000 now. But they did not adjust his payment. And I'm trying to figure out why. Because you'd think if he only owns $180,000 now, that they'd readjust the loan with the current interest rate to get his payment in line with what he still owes.
Which was his whole intent and goal to begin with.
They would modify the loan.
Correct.
Because he was in trouble.
They won't modify the loan. So while he's gotten rid of some properties, and believe it or not, they let him keep a nice chunk of change off each one, so he built up some cash in the bank. But his loan balance has gone down, but his payment has not changed.
Is it going straight?
So in that situation, as a servicer of that loan, and maybe you may not know the answer to this question. If he's still paying $5,000 or $5,500 a month for those two homes with $180,000 balance, are they allocating more of that payment toward the principal balance? So instead of paying off $1,000 here, he's paying down like $3,000 every payment because he's adding more to the principal? Or do they just continue to how do they calculate the additional money they're getting on a much smaller balance now? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Right. The principal and interest payments, that's going to be based off of whatever the original loan balance is. But it sounds like that lender is not allowing carve-outs. I'm not sure how to answer that situation. I'd have to look into it further.
So you're thinking they don't allow the carve-outs, but they allowed it simply in this situation because there was a pending foreclosure. So yes, when we sold these properties, the balance went to the bank. There was a leftover amount that actually went to my client, which I was surprised that happened. But they stopped the foreclosure and now they're in good standing. But they didn't change the payment that they're having to pay every month, which is the reason they were in foreclosure in the first place. It's really a bizarre situation.
Can the borrower request that difference go straight towards the principal so at least they're paying it off quicker?
Well, I don't know. That's why I was asking Frank in that situation.
I'm not sure. I'd want to look into that offline.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's not the only person that had a portfolio loan that got into financial trouble.
I wouldn't mind keeping the same payment as long as I knew.
You're paying that. Because you're going to pay
$3,500. That payment was going towards that principal.
It may be worth it. The problem is he doesn't have the $7,000 a month in gross rent anymore.
I understand.
He's only getting a couple of $1,000s a month off of two properties.
He could refinance for the balance and then increase the payment on the principal.
Well, he would, but his credit's so banged up from the foreclosure,
his credit's
he
messed
can't
up. Sure, he can't do that.
Yeah. So now I think our only option is I'm going to have to sell these last two properties and just liquidate that portfolio loan and just get rid of the whole thing and help him get started over again once he gets his credit cleaned up and gets back on his feet.
Right. Yeah, it seems like it'd be the best option.
Okay. Well, that answered that question. Let me ask you this. What are the most common refinancing obstacles investors face when approaching their balloon payment deadline? So are there balloon payments with some of these portfolio loans?
Yeah, one of the major advantages of our portfolio loans is that they're 30-year fully amortizing. So no balloon payments to worry about. This provides long-term certainty and that eliminates
the stress
of refinancing.
You can pay on that portfolio loan for 30 years. Right. So 30 years, you can pay on that portfolio loan without the fear of any balloon payments.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any tax implications that investors should consider when considering properties under one loan? I guess you got to keep a good spreadsheet on expenses and repairs and on each property, but are there any other tax pluses or negatives that you know of? I know you're not a CPA and you can't give tax advice, but in your industry, is what's the advantage and disadvantages on taxes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely talk to a licensed CPA. I'm not a licensed CPA.
Correct.
But, you know, consolidation may affect the depreciation schedules.
Okay.
That could limit the interest deductibility if not structured properly. So make sure, you know, if you're listening to this, talk to a licensed CPA. You know, they can guide you through that.
About the depreciation schedule, because it may change because you've got everything under one loan.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's say you've got 10 properties and they're all doing well, but number 9 is just that redheaded stepchild. Just problem after problem, vacancy, eviction, and you just can't seem to get it to balance. How does the bank deal with that? Do they care as long as the investor's making his mortgage payment every month? So do they really care about that issue, or is it something they take a look at and decide maybe we need this guy to unload this property and replace it with something else?
Right. I mean, yeah, you know, generally what they'll do is look at the performance of the overall portfolio rather than, in that situation, that single asset that's become problematic. So if one underperforms and if, you know, the majority is stable, then, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the lender's typically going to request a resolution plan rather than make any drastic actions.
Which could be allowing him to sell that property and then under the agreement that he would replace it with a different property, or they would just go down to 9 properties and restructure the loan?
Yeah, no, it's either or. So they could swap out the property, you know, they could liquidate that one property, but, you know, we've got flexibility on that.
One other question. What specific language should investors look for in portfolio loan agreements regarding property substitution rights in one property becomes a liability? So basically talking about the same scenario, should there be language in the portfolio loan documents that allow that? And if it doesn't say that, then maybe that lender doesn't allow you to do that. So if you get a problem child, you're just stuck with them. Kind of like dating an ugly girl or being married to an ugly girl. You're just stuck with her.
Yeah, I don't want that. Yeah, no, this is a common one that comes up. So investors, what they should be doing is looking for terms such as, you know, collateral substitution, you know, partial release provisions. It might say partial release clause or release prices per property. These clauses give flexibility to sell or swap assets without defaulting on the loan. So,
but
for example, you know, if you carve out a property from the loan blanket, the lender could require you, you know, to allocate, you know, the additional 20% to the loan, like we
Correct.
Talked about earlier.
So they'll let you sell it, and you're gonna have to pay off 20% of your loan balance when you sell that property. But if you do a replacement, how does that work? So let's say I'm gonna do a brain teaser here. So let's say a guy's got a portfolio loan for $1 million, 10 properties, and he's got a redheaded stepchild that he needs to get rid of, an ugly wife, and something else. So the bank says, great, we'll let you sell this property off, but you need to allocate 20% down, pay down on the loan. But he says, well, I want to take that money and 1031 it and buy another property and replace it. So they would allow him to keep the funds, buy the next property, or put that money down on the next property. Would they then loan or give him the funds or move that property back into the portfolio loan? Or does it just go to 9 automatically? They get the 20% and that's it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I don't see that being an issue. So in this case, yeah, swapping out the asset, that should be fine.
Okay, so they'll allow him to take those funds, buy another property, and then throw it back into the mix.
Yeah, I don't see that being an issue.
Okay, that's why I'm wondering if that 20% applies if he's going to replace versus just sell off.
Right. I mean, you know, that's part of the resolution plan that, you know, the investor would work with the lender.
Frank, what's the time frame on putting one of these portfolio loans together with, say, 10 properties from application to close? What's your average time frame for something like that?
A typical portfolio loan can close in 30 to 45 days. However, that depends on the deal complexity and borrower readiness. So having all documents prepared up front, you know, that can significantly accelerate the process. And that's something I'd help you with as well. I'd walk you through the entire process.
So at the end of the day, though, with 10 properties in a portfolio loan, you're still looking, evaluating, comping 10 properties. You're going to appraise all 10 properties, correct?
Correct.
So depending on the size of the portfolio, it'll just take longer because obviously there's more properties involved than just one. So that's a pretty quick turnaround, though, 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
For 10 properties. I know lenders that can't close one property in 45 to 60 days. So.
Hey, Frank, this is Richard on the mic. I'm going to spit you some beets. I'm curious to find out, because these properties are all held within one portfolio loan, how does that affect how I insure each of the properties, or can I carry a blanket policy?
So with the cross-collateralization, you know, that links the financial health of all properties, increasing shared risk. So, you know, strong insurance strategy, that often includes having a umbrella policy and, you know, consolidated property coverage. So, that should be fine.
Could they be insured with a landlord's policy, a standard landlord's policy to cover all of them as one for a lot cheaper, if it's a cheaper rate than an umbrella policy?
Right. Yeah. It's typically done with an umbrella policy, but that should be fine.
Which just covers everything under one umbrella. You don't have separate policies, separate payments, separate issues. So if one home in the portfolio burns to the ground, it's not going to affect the other nine homes, other than the fact your insurance company may cancel you. I mean, you get a new insurance policy.
So it helps protect the entire portfolio, and it simplifies the claims. Makes it a lot easier.
Are those rates competitive with traditional homeowners insurance rates or
investor rates?
Investor rates. Is it more because of multiple properties and multiple risk, or do you get a discount because of its multiple properties?
I've seen a lot of insurance companies offer the bulk discount, but that's something you want to work with the insurance agent.
It's a good idea. We need to have an insurance agent on sometime. Beautiful. Frank, one more time, give me your name, your telephone number, your shoe size, blood type, and your website address.
Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure working with you guys. Happy to help any way I can. You can reach me at 619-450-9097. If you can't get a hold of me, text me to that number. Or you can email me at frank@theonebrokerage.com. I'll always get back to you within 24 hours or less. That's my goal. Shoe size, I'm a 9.5 or 10, depending on the shoe. But anyway, I can provide value. You know, I'm always happy to.
Perfect, perfect. Frank, we appreciate you, man. I thank you a lot for coming on today. And again, you can reach out to us at 901-692-7401 or go to our website, MyMemphisInvestmentProperties.com. And that's it for us today. Screw you, Richard. Have a great day.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.
...401 or go to our website, MyMemphisInvestmentProperties.com. And that's it for us today. Screw you, Richard. Have a great day.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.